once again lying to you. Yesterday, I recall, I promised to have different music today, didn't I? Did I promise different music? But I guess Patrick is out sick, so Casey's filling in, just put on the same old thing. We have other sections. There will be more. There will be new Mike Jones music. Go to JonesJazz.com. There'll be new Mike Jones music today. Oh, my heart is racing. My microphone was not set perfectly at the last minute, and I was going a little wild. Sitting with Michael Goudeau on the free FM. I remember, you're always free to say something stupid. And if you don't say stupid things, people won't correct you. Don't be afraid of being wrong. Be afraid of being quiet. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. And that's penradio@gmail.com. PENRADIO@gmail.com, penradio.com, 866-313-FREE, 3733. I want to give that number out a lot. We had that guy call, not yesterday, but the day before, the guy called about Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Was that yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
Okay,
no, day before yesterday.
He called, smart cat, had some really good questions about why we were so against the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, we've brought in reinforcements. we have Margaret.
We didn't know, so we brought in someone else.
Margaret Downey. Who I call Margaret Downey Jr., because why wouldn't you? Margaret Downey, who is the atheist mom of the atheist Boy Scouts, went all the way up to the Supremes. She knows, I mean, she knows hating Boy Scouts, you know, the way Prince knows fashion. the way Prince knows purple. And during the second segment of the show, we'll do this segment, break for commercial. Then we'll come back. We'll have Margaret Downey Jr. here. So you might want to get in the queue right now because we get phone calls like crazy. And then, of course, we drop them when they come on the air. 866-313-FREE. The whole middle section of today's show is going to be about the Boy Scouts and why we're against the Boy Scouts for throwing out gays and atheists and then for getting government money. And when I asked Margaret if she'd come up, she just came over to visit my wife and child, and we put her to work. That's the way things work around there.
Thought she was going to get bagels.
Instead, she has to go to work. But we'll have her on the whole second segment talking about the Boy Scouts. So anything you want to say, pro or con, about the Boy Scouts? Because April 3rd, which is Monday, right?
Yes.
April 3rd, Bulls hit debuts on Showtime for this season, fourth season, and the first show is Boy Scouts. So we'll be talking Boy Scouts a lot. I want to talk about the Catholic Church cover-up, which is just appalling. Yesterday, as you know, we talked to the people of America and the world and asked them to buy all the fish sandwiches so Catholics today could not eat at McDonald's or Burger King or any place else. I also own stock in McDonald's. And we had them all. We asked for, what did we ask for? 800 million people
to go out and buy
To go out and buy fish sandwiches, and they did. When we went to the local McDonald's here right down the street from me, there were no fish sandwiches left. We bought the last six. That was it. Gone. And yet, Drudge Report, Google News, New York Times, Las Vegas Review-Journal, not a whisper. The Catholic Church has squelched that like a death at Disneyland. I mean, they moved that so fast to like page 30. I couldn't even find it. So I'm sure the Penn Jillette show was 100% successful in depriving Catholics from getting their fish sandwiches. And the reason, as you pointed out yesterday, was not to send kids to hell for eating Big Macs, because there is no hell. It was to open their eyes to science and possibly get a vaccine for every disease.
Trying to get America back on top of the science game.
Exactly. That was that's what we
did. No child left behind by eating the fish sandwiches.
Yeah, and Happy Jack had chicken, which is like being totally, it's like Switzerland. He's totally out of the fray, does not have a dog in the fight. I ate half a fish sandwich after the show. Because I was planning on like working out afterwards. Because, to look like me, you have to work out constantly.
Well, we have email from our assistant who's furious that you didn't eat one, but he had to.
I ate half of one. You know, I ate half of one.
You weighed 2.5 times what he weighs, and he ate a whole one.
Do I weigh 2.5 times he weighs?
Close. What, 110? Maybe,
No, he weighs more than 110. But I don't know if this is what Free FM is about, arguing about Dustin's weight on the air. If you have an opinion on Dustin's weight, call 866-313-FREE.
His mom's calling.
we'll be talking about all sorts of stuff, but mostly it's going to be the Boy Scouts. So if you have a comment or question about the Boy Scouts, we'll have Margaret Downey Jr. here for the whole middle hunk of the show. I did Dateline after the show yesterday. Right upstairs in my office. Yeah. I did Dateline with Josh Mankiewicz.
Yeah, I could hear you yelling.
Could you?
I was outside and could hear you yelling. So I assume it went well.
I don't yell.
Yeah,
I make cogent points on television. He had four cameras rolling. Like I told you, it took my and the great thing was, you know, this is like a romantic fantasy of mine. You know, I was just watching all these outtakes of the Beatles' Let It Be, you know, and it's all the recording session. And man, you know, John is sitting there playing guitar and chewing gum, and sitting next to him is Yoko. She's at work with him, you know. And I love that. I just love that he has got, you know, the woman he loves right next to him. You know, he sings like I Dig a Pony. And while Paul is, you know, singing like Let It Be and Long and Winding Road and the sucky Beatles songs, John is actually in the studio with Yoko, and they're like chatting and joking and stuff and making out while Paul's recording, because who wants to listen to that? And I love that, because yesterday during Dateline, because I wasn't in the studio, I was in my office, and because Emily, my wife, I almost forgot her name there for a second. I remember Yoko like that.
Your beard.
My beard, Emily, was setting up the whole iChat thing, because she's more technical than, well, it seems all of NBC.
Yes, and us. All of us.
By all of us, sure, but all of NBC. Their IT people were coming to Emily for questions. And she was standing right off my webcam. And it was really nice, because I was like, you know, after, you know, when Josh would be setting up a question, I'd be looking over at her. It was really great. And they were asking me about, and the great thing is that Dateline, you know, they don't know how to do just a fun bit. They don't know how to just talk. So Josh has to do this investigative angle. So you think that Chris Bliss doing this juggling routine to Golden Slumbers by the Beatles, although entertaining, is wrong, and that's why Jason Garfield had come in and humiliate him. Is that right, Penn? No, he did. Josh, babe, calm down. He did a juggling thing. It was fine. It was really good. But if you do something really good, someone will make fun of you. Because you know, Josh, people make fun of you. That's what I pointed out. And then I said a line. He said, oh, this won't get on the TV, but it will get on radio because we're free FM. He was talking about how bitter Jason Garfield is. And, of course, I explained that if anybody who's really good at anything in the arts is really, really bitter. Because, you know, you get superstars like Jessica Simpson, and then you have people coming out of Berkeley that actually learned to sing and studied and can do anything, and they're going to be bitter because they practice all the time. They have no life. Jason Garfield, one of the finest jugglers, along with, you know, Vova Galchenko,
yeah.
And
Anthony Gatto,
you know, three of the best. Of those, Jason Garfield is the most bitter. You know, he like lives in a cellar and just seethes in his own hate. He stews in his own juices because he practices all the time. And Chris Bliss goes out, entertains people, gets standing ovations. People laugh. People have a good time. And Jason is sweating, smelling his own stink in a little room, practicing 10 hours a day. So there's bitterness. So I said to Josh, trying to explain, and so you think that this is something that must be destroyed? That Chris Bliss is? Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think, Josh. Calm down. I said, Josh, it's beautiful, man. There's room for everything. There's room for sweet, and there's room for sour, and there's room for beauty, and there's room for truth, and there's room for silly. And then once in a while, you just want to suck on that bitter root. And that's what Jason Garfield's for. I said, when you have, for all the stuff that you're better at than someone who's more successful than you, it's time to watch Jason Garfield and laugh your ass off. And I said, Chris Bliss is a great guy. I don't know him, but he does this Bill of Rights project. He's clearly a freedom fighter. He can do a million things. And Jason Garfield is a bitter loser that we love deeply. I mean, he's one of our closest friends.
He's a crazy juggler.
It's very rare that I come down to get a snack at 2 in the morning and Jason Garfield is not in my living room just typing on his computer or doing something. So we did this thing. He does, and if you want to see that, if you go to penradio.com or just do a search for Chris Bliss and Jason Garfield, and you see Jason Garfield doing Chris Bliss's three-ball routine with five balls. And it's pretty fun. And everybody's having a good time. Calm down. They're setting off a 700-ton... Is that right?
Yes.
700-ton bomb right outside of Las Vegas. There's a one-word answer to that. Cool! That is so goddamned cool! We're going to have a huge bomb. What is it, like a 200th the size of Nagasaki? They're setting off a convention. It's conventional.
It's conventional. It actually is 700 tons of explosives.
700 tons. You know, Vegas, when it was really great, like during the late 50s, during the late 50s, you could see, like, what's the name I'm trying to think of? Like a gigolo, you know, Louis Prima.
You could, I was trying to think of a gigolo's name. You threw me entirely.
You could go. This is true. In Vegas in the late 50s, you could go and see Louis Prima. He would do his last show at about 4 a.m. You could then go and get breakfast on the patio, look out across the desert, and see an atomic bomb test. Atomic bomb test. And they had women, you know, real buckets of freak, dressed up as like Miss Atomic Bomb Nevada. They had atomic bomb suits, and you could watch. Well, we're going to have a little bit of that nostalgia again, man. And I'm going to try to find when the bomb's going off. I'm going to try to have like a big slammer party, because it's supposed to be
June
like
2nd.
I know, June 2nd. We don't know what time
there's
of day.
Time on here.
But June 2nd, a big, huge bomb in, and I don't talk about Avenue Q. I'm not talking about Loreth. I'm not talking about Loreth. I'm not talking about Cirque du Soleil. I'm talking about 700 ton bomb. 700 tons is heavy.
You think?
Oh, it's going to be so great. And it's, see, this is where, I'm kind of a peacenik. So probably if I searched my non-existent soul, I would find that I was against this bomb being tested, except it is so goddamn cool that it's just going to go boom. Is that what it is? Not. Is it really?
Half the size of Hiroshima?
You just held up a sign that said half the size of Hiroshima? Wow. I'm not saying there was anything good about Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Horrible things. A lot of people died. No reason for that. No one is going to die. No one is going to die. We're just going to blow up big stuff. And what's that great quote from the guy who's doing it?
There's nothing that is out of bounds for us. That's where our expertise is in. That's from Darwin Morgan.
Yeah, he blows up stuff.
Divine Strake.
Divine Strake. It's called Divine
the
Strake.
Best name, Divine Strake.
Now, why?
That's the planks on a boat. The strakes, yeah.
Strakes are the planks
on the deck of a boat.
It's called divine.
Divine strake, yeah.
Because God's going to drag in the 700 ton. I've got a few other news. I'm so excited about the bomb thing, but I don't know what I have to say about it. Maybe we should have some sort of. June is a long ways away. Oh, you know what? June 2nd is right in the window that my son, Zoltan, could be born. If my son is born right when the bomb goes off, see, if it wasn't right during that time, we'd have like some sort of contest. This is one of those contests that's not sanctioned by CBS or Free FM. One of those contests that we just give where we have someone cool and fly them out and hang with them. Have them come. But I can't do that right when my son's going to be born, you know, because I'll be busy.
Yeah, it's also Moxie's birthday, right? The 3rd?
Well, June 3rd is Moxie. Oh, man, it'd be a cool time.
But is it cooler than 6-6, which is, you know, a few days after that?
Yeah, well, I would like to get 666 as a birthday, or Moxie's birthday, or when the bomb goes off. Zoltan's going to have such a great life. Randy McClory, the sole survivor of the mining accident that claimed 12 other lives, headed home yesterday. West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin announced that the road where McClory's house is located has been renamed Miracle Road. He also announced that the street leading to the cemetery has been renamed God Really Sucks Lane. So they're just doing it so that everybody is really covered completely there in West Virginia. And I'm sure you saw this. We got about 100 Gmails that mention this article. The listeners to this show cared a lot about this article. I'm not going to talk about it much because we all agree. Now that we've covered prayer with an exhaustive, expensive study, we can move on to other subjects worthy of scientific research, such as, did Jiminy Cricket really exist? Can someone really stink out loud? And will wishing and hoping bring him into my arms? I mean, even Burt Bacharach and Hal David knew that prayer didn't work, for Christ's sake. I mean, Is there anybody? Here's another place we scooped everybody. We scooped Drudge. We scooped. We knew prayer didn't work. You know, talking to a goddamn million. Wall. Jesus. So they did that. All.
2.5 million, 10 years worth of study.
2.5 million. 2.5 million to say prayer doesn't work.
And they're really great. This is the great part. Patients who knew they were being prayed for had a higher rate of post-operative complications like abnormal heart rhythms. Perhaps because of expectations the prayer created.
So if they thought the prayer was going to...
If you knew people were praying for you, it was bad for you.
Last night we had a genius at our show, Trace Adkins. Are you hip to Trace Adkins?
No.
Trace Adkins is a country star, country superstar. And he came to our show because his pedal steel player played on a song that we did for the Aristocrats, the rodeo song, played some great pedal steel stuff. So I had met Trace once before, and Trace is my height, and which is like 6'6". We might even be a little taller, 6'7", or something. And people my height are huge. He is giant. He is so, so tall. And he has this really deep voice, and we talked backstage, had a great time. He told wonderful stories. And I've always liked Trace because he wrote this song.
He was there last night?
Yeah, I was there last night. We talked
and
backstage,
I'm sure
had a good time.
Do you have that recorder?
Yeah, I have a tape recorder.
You brought that in, right? Didn't we buy one? We spent a couple hundred bucks on a recorder, so when someone like Trace showed up, you could record him, right?
I did.
Great. So let's hit that.
I left it into the
Jack,
car.
Jack, hit the button and play the interview, Jack.
I left the...
Go for it, Jack.
I left the tape recorder in the car.
He doesn't have it.
What?
I left the tape recorder in the car.
You did what?
I didn't record it at all.
How far is your car from the dressing room?
About 15 yards.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. And you don't have any assistants or anything that could run out and get it?
No, we didn't do that.
Okay, good.
Call in.
Can I have that recorder?
Call in.
My kids want to play with it.
866-313-FREE, 3733. We have Margaret Downey Jr. coming up, and you can call in and get in the queue there. Trace Adkins, I believe, is the Louis Pasteur of getting laid. The two smartest people in the world of getting laid are Sir Mix-a-Lot and Trace Adkins. Sir Mix-a-Lot wrote the song, I Like Big Butts, and I Can't Deny It. I cannot imagine, since every woman thinks that her butt is too big, and he says he loves them, he must have just had the train pulling up outside. I mean, I really think there should be a Nobel Prize in getting laid, and Sir Mix-a-Lot could win it. And then Trace Adkins comes along, you know, cowboy, of course, cowboy hat back when it was straight, and, you know, just a cool looking guy with a really low voice. And he wrote a song called Hot Mama. Listen to these lyrics for getting laid. You're doing all you can to get in them old jeans. You want your body back. You had it 17. Baby, don't get down. Don't worry about a thing, because the way you fill them out, hey, it's all right with me. I don't want the girl you used to be. And if you ain't noticed, the kids are fast asleep. You're one hot mama. Well, I know sometimes you think that all you really are is the woman with the kids and the groceries in the car. While you worry about your hips and you worry about your age, meanwhile, I'm trying to catch my breath you take away. Believe me, baby, you still do. Baby, all I see when I look at you is one hot mama. That is the Louis Pasteur of getting laid, Trace Adkins. And we're going to have Margaret Downey Jr. in here right after this break to talk about the Boy Scouts and how we're against them. We don't like them. The Boy Scouts. Angela! It's Pendulette out back here at Las Vegas. Not back. I didn't go anywhere. You guys went places. Sitting with Michael Goudeau and also our very special guest, Margaret Downey Jr., going to be talking about the Boy Scouts. And, you know, prayers are not answered, Michael Goudeau. Or I guess they're all answered no, is another way to look at it. Prayers are not answered. But if you announce something on the radio that you want, you sometimes get it. And the caller that we had the other day that we did cut off, and I felt we were a little bit rude to, just in terms of time,
right,
not in terms of tone,
sure,
has called back to talk to Margaret Downey about the Boy Scouts, because she knows Boy Scouts. I do want to say, because I promised I would, James Gunn, who did the Dawn of the Dead a couple years ago, the newer Dawn of the Dead,
yes,
has written another movie called Slither. He went to see my movie, The Aristocrats, the week it came out, so I'm going to go see his movie. Slither's supposed to be just fabulous. Heard from Rob and Renee, it's just wonderful. But let's go right away. Well, first of all, I'll say Margaret Downey Jr. is here, good friend of ours, and you went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Actually, no.
Okay.
I did have a federal case,
uh-huh.
But it took about 9 years to go through the court system. And by the time my case got up to the point to go to the Supreme Court, the James Dale case in New Jersey was a little bit ahead of me, mm-hmm. so he got to go.
But, and he lost.
Well, unfortunately, he did. It was at that point that the Boy Scouts declared themselves private so that they could have freedom of association.
Mm-hmm.
And what that boils down to is that they can choose whomever they want to associate with. And tomorrow it might be the Unitarians that are ousted for being too sympathetic.
It would be the Jews. You know, the order you always go in, always, gays, atheists, Jews. Throughout history, that is the order they go in, okay?
Well, the Unitarians are already being ostracized in various manners through the Boy Scouts. What they've done is that they've determined that the Unitarian religion is much too tolerant. So the Boy Scouts will no longer acknowledge the religion badge obtained by any Unitarian scout.
Wow. Well, for those who don't know, Unitarianism believes in one God at most.
Well, it's a very liberal church. Yeah.
And your son was had his ass thrown out for
right
being
after
an atheist.
7 years of association, wow. where we had absolutely no problem.
Now, you have no problem at all with them throwing anybody out they want, as long as they don't take government money, right?
That's correct. I just hate to see the world's largest youth group set such a high determination on who's right and who's wrong and who's good and who's bad and what type of child they want to associate with, because they're supposed to represent tolerance and brotherhood and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're asking a child to lie about their religion by trying to fit in, or lie about their sexual preference to try to fit in, I don't think that's teaching the American youth a very good standard of ethical behavior.
Right, but the real question is, and let's take Ben the call on, because that's what he was talking about.
Sure, we have David.
David. Are you there, David?
I am here, I am.
Sorry I cut you off last time.
Oh, you were rude. Trust me, you gave me plenty of time to speak.
But,
I really called back was my wife calls me up and goes, are you listening to Penn Jillette? And I said, no. He goes, he's talking about your call. He said you were smart. So after 13 years, you've managed to validate with my wife that I'm actually smart.
Good.
Now, couldn't do it on my own.
Now, boss, we're gonna take that little bit of praise we gave you for being smart, and now we're gonna rip you to pieces. Because,
that's why I'm gonna hang up.
No, you're not. Explain why you think the Boy Scouts should be able to meet anywhere they want and throw anybody out.
Well, I think what my objection was, I think your problem, the ladies' problem is obviously that they don't allow in people who don't want to claim a belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a Boy Scout, that was didn't seem to be as big an issue because but I think your problem is actually with the government, not with the Boy Scouts. I mean, you don't like that the Boy Scouts don't accept atheists, but it's the government that's allowing them use facilities.
Right.
Right.
Why don't you address that,
yeah,
Margaret?
In fact, we have a case going right now. It's Winkler versus Rumsfeld, and that is the Donald Rumsfeld that is being sued. And what we're claiming is that it is unlawful, it is unconstitutional for our United States government to not only give a gratuitous rental fee of $1 for the Boy Scouts to have their jamboree, but to also invest about $2 million in taxpayer money to assist with the jamboree, to put up tents and to offer facilities and to make it very comfortable for the world's largest youth group who openly and proudly discriminates. And we say that's our taxpayer money that should service the entire community, not just the religious community.
Now, are there other groups, Margaret, that are allowed to meet on public grounds and exclude people?
No. And in fact, we just have a very, very upsetting situation that happened with the passage of the National Defense Authorization Act. And in the 11th hour, they slipped in this bill called Support the Scouts Act of 2005. And it seeks to allow the Boy Scouts to use facilities and to be involved in any venue that they choose. And if the venue, such as a municipality or a school, elects to not host them because of the discrimination policy, the particular municipality or the public school will actually lose funding
from the federal,
from the federal government if they don't allow the Boy Scouts in.
Now, do you have a counterexample to that? Do you have a group that is allowed to use government money and then exclude people from their club? I'm talking about the caller.
David, are you there?
I cannot hear a thing this nice lady is saying.
Okay.
Like
sorry,
one
David.
Word out of every ten.
Once again, our New York group. But his point was, when we talked the other day, is he was saying that you do have groups that work that meet on school property and so on that don't have to have everybody in there. Now, if you have, can you have like a Democratic rally on school property,
right,
that Republicans aren't allowed in?
Well, that would be true, but the thing is that they are charged rent.
Uh-huh.
And what the Boy Scouts are getting away with is rental exclusions, you know, that they don't even have to pay rent, or if they do have to pay, it's only a dollar. And we're saying that they needed to be treated fairly and equally with other private organizations.
So if the Boy Scouts paid the proper amount to use the hall,
right,
they can throw out anybody they want.
Right.
Is that right? I mean,
yes.
Is that true?
Exactly.
Is that true?
I mean, they're now a private organization.
They don't even, but they don't allow that. I mean, if our local school, if the Klan, you know, wanted to rent a room, they would not let them, right?
Exactly.
And are there sets of rules to do that, or is that just...
Well, usually the school system has passed an anti-discriminatory policy, and I've been collecting those over the United States as proof, you know, that any time we get a complaint...
Because you got sick of collecting the Pez dispensers.
it's interesting. I like to see the different wordings of anti-discrimination statutes, and it helps me with this collection to go to a school and say, now, this is a school just down the road, and they have this policy, can you adopt it here? But it, you know, it's a grueling type of research that I'm doing, but it does pay off in the end. So if one of your listeners wants to get passionate about the issue and doesn't have any type of literature to fall back on, and they want to go to their school to get some anti-discrimination statutes passed, then I would supply that information for them.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you?
It's www.fsgp.org. That's F as in Frank, S
wow,
as in Sam,
we're not choice,
GP. It's called the initials for the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia.
And I interrupted you, so same thing. F as in Frank. I just thought you were going to say F as in something else.
Oh, no.
G as in God, D, F as GP, and P as in Paul.
Okay.
I behaved myself at that last one.
So, you have there all the stuff about that. And that's the thing on the on our first episode of Penn & Teller's Bulls Hit, we're doing the Boy Scouts, and we talk about, it's really brutal, too, because they've thrown out really great people.
Yeah.
And they also, one of the guys, and not the officials, but have you dealt at all with the Mormon Church on this?
Well, you know, the Mormons don't let us get too much information.
What I mean is... the thing that we found out when I was a Boy Scout very briefly in the 70s before they threw me out, but for very good and sufficient reasons, it was a different youth group. Mm-hmm. Right now it has been pretty much hijacked by the Mormon Church.
20 years ago that actually happened. The Mormon Church got into the executive offices, as well as the Catholic Church, by the way. And, you know, Catholics and Mormons have a lot of kids, and this was helpful to the Boy Scouts because they got a larger head count. So when they went to people like the United Way, they could say, oh, we service 4,000 children in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rewrite because they would have the names on the enrollments. But we came to find out that automatically signed up under the Mormon Church, every 7-year-old boy whether they went to one meeting or not.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in Texas, the FBI is actually investigating fraudulent claims of membership to increase the numbers. So the Boy Scouts are putting names down twice or, you know, spelling them differently.
It's like voting in Chicago.
Yeah. So they're getting busted all over the country, you know, not just by civilians that are passionate about the issue, but the government is now getting involved.
Wow. So that's what our show will be about on Monday, and I hope we answered, David, I hope we answered a lot of your questions, and when you hear the podcast later, you can hear what the answer to the question was that you asked live. This is Penn Jillette, Las Vegas. We'll be back right after this.
There it is.
Okay, start over.
Okay, this is Ben Gillette there with more from the Mike Jones Big Orchestra coming in a little bit. I wanted to thank Margaret Downey for being on the show. You know, I met Margaret Downey. The way I first talked with her was I was doing a radio show in L.A., and I came on as an atheist who was against Margaret Downey in all those cases because you should be able to exclude anybody you want from any club. And then she called up and said, but they take government money. And I went, oh. But I hope David got
chicken
to hear
sandwich.
That.
Chicken sandwich. She said the equivalent of chicken sandwich.
But Margaret Downey has a very, very sexy voice. It was hard for him to hear over the very sexy voice, but not good for phone sex because you can't hear her sometimes. She goes, you want me to put my what in your what? I want to get to this this phone call. I'm just going to get to because it made me laugh. We have a puppet builder from Avenue Q on the phone. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hope I wasn't out of line with that bomb joke, sir.
No, not at all.
Are you New York or Vegas?
No, we're actually in New Jersey. We're working on the another version of Avenue Q, actually.
Oh, really?
And you, yeah, it's going over to the UK next month.
And what's your background for being a puppet person?
Studied art, studied design, worked for the Muppets, worked on different things, worked marionettes, hand puppets, all that kind of stuff.
It's a good show. You know, I saw it in New York. I didn't see it in Vegas.
Yeah,
but I saw it in New York.
It's more of a New York kind of based show. I think Vegas, you're going to see shows like yours or Celine Dion or something.
What does that mean, ours or Celine Dion? You rat bastard! Die, pig puppet person! Die, pig choke on someone else's vomit right now! I hope you get splinters all over your private part. Puppet person! A doll-sucking freak! Me and Celine Dion, you pig dog,
okay,
die!
Just you.
Oh, just us. Sure, okay.
Just
I understand
you.
That.
Well, we've been loving the show. We've been listening to you every day since we started the build, and we just thought it was hysterical that you mentioned this.
Please forgive me.
There's
nobody
more self-deprecating than puppet people.
I thought you had made it. You had made a comparison between us and Celine Dion.
No, between you and Celine Dion, there is.
Sometimes
a comparison.
We get a bad connection here. I will tell you one problem with Avenue Q. You can see the puppeteers really clearly. Oh, that's the point!
That's
oh, I see.
Show.
I think you missed that.
My wife has seen Avenue Q now 3 times, and she's going to see you once more. She's on bed rest with our our child, and she gets off of bed rest in like 4 or 5 weeks, and the first thing she's going to do is go see Avenue Q again. So it's a really great
we're
show.
We're glad she likes it. That's excellent.
And I really think that, it's a drag. It's a drag that it didn't go in Vegas.
Thanks for taking me on the air.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, for a moment, I thought he put us in the same breath with Celine Dion.
No, no.
And I think I might have raised my voice.
You're overreacting.
I raised my voice a little bit. I stay very calm on the air all the time. But that's a little thing that you might have noticed a little bit of... perturbed. I was a little bit perturbed in my voice. I want to talk about, man, you know, because coming on every day and saying that we're an atheist and there's no God and stuff like that and being a libertarian hasn't seemed to be controversial enough. So now I'm going to come out, I guess, I'm about to come out in some people's minds in favor of kiddie porn. I don't know
I'm
if
not
that's
sure that's exactly the right way to say this.
Yeah.
Read the news story and then we'll talk about it. Why don't we start this the other way?
Okay. This is from North Smithville, Smithfield, North Smithfield, Rhode Island. It's an AP story. A teenage girl has been charged with conspiracy in a child pornography case involving two other teenagers. Now, when I hear a teenager involved in kiddie porn, I'm thinking that the teenager is 19 and the people that she's exploiting are probably, you know, 13, right? Teenagers. But this says, the 16-year-old from Lincoln was arrested and charged with conspiracy. She's 16. She's accused of taking explicit photos of two friends, 19-year-old Elizabeth Muller of North Smithfield, and a 16-year-old girl from Lincoln whose name hasn't been released. The photos were later posted on their MySpace websites. The name of the third girl, who was charged Wednesday, also has not been released. The other two teens were arrested earlier this week and charged with child pornography. Were you having sex when you were 16, Michael Goodell?
Pretty close to that, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I know the exact date.
Me too.
A lot of people know the exact date, but I don't know the exact date.
I know. Well, I have it written down in my diary. Not mine. I have your exact date.
Oh, nice.
Written down. Yeah, I want to have that.
I forgot that was with you.
Clear forever. Happy Jack, 16, you were having sex? Yeah, sure. Casey, 16? The other guy's name I forgot, 16?
He's
not? Yeah.
He said yeah.
Yeah. I think it's okay. And I also think that not me, but a kid in my class was taking pictures of sex acts when he was 15 or so. And, you know, there were Polaroids that he had and stuff. I don't think that that's kiddie porn. I don't think that's what America thinks. I think that people start getting sexually active in high school. And when they say they bust a kiddie porn ring, I think they are busting adult scumballs who are exploiting young children. I don't think it's two 16-year-old girls and a 19-year-old girl playing around with a digital camera to put the pictures on MySpace. Now, I didn't see the pictures on MySpace. I don't know what they were. But there's also this feeling like they shouldn't have 16-year-olds putting on sexy pictures onto MySpace because it lures predators. Isn't that exactly the same argument as saying that I can't wear a miniskirt going down the street because I'd be provocative? At the last minute, you see, I decided to do that first person. But, I mean, I believe that you should be able to be as sexy as you want, any place, any time, and it's not your fault. You are still able to say no, no matter who you are, in what situation. You do not blame the victim. And there's also this thing, you know, with the sex offenders. We're all appalled by sex offenders, and should be, but some of the sex offenders in some states, and I don't have the facts at my fingertips, because in case you've forgotten, you're listening to Penn Jillette on Free FM, and virtually everything I say is wrong in some detail. You know, you do not need freedom to be right. You need freedom to be wrong. Freedom means being stupid. But I think there are some states, I'm sure there are some states, I don't know what they are, where if the age of consent in statutory rape is, let's say, for instance, 17, and two 16-year-old kids have sex and are caught, that the 16-year-old boy is a registered sex offender for the rest of his life because he has committed statutory rape on that girl. And I believe there are some states where the boy can even be younger in that situation. And then there are also all different rules in many states for homosexual sex. I think if you've got consensual sex of people about the same age, you know, 15, 16, 17, that is A-OK. Maybe their parents should scream at them. Maybe they should have to sneak around, but I don't think it's a government thing. And a headline like that, third teenage girl charged in child pornography case, is just showing that there is a real anti-sex bias. They're not being busted for exploiting each other. They're being busted because they are under 18 and enjoying sex. And I can't find, you know, I guess you can find people who didn't have intercourse before they were 18. They're easy to find, you know, but it's very hard to find friends of ours who weren't somehow, in some way, sexually active at 16 or 17. Except, of course, for my friend Jeff, who couldn't get laid in a woman's prison with a fistful of pardons. But that's just Jeff, okay? That's a whole separate thing. He tends to be not as sexually active as the rest. I mean, I believe he's, 34? still not sexually active. But I just wanted to come out and say that I think we have to be very careful when going on the anti-child pornography stuff, because it is absolutely right, and no one disagrees. All your hardest core pornographers are against underage sex. Everybody is. We're so strong about that, we have to be very careful that people like these girls in Smithfield, Rhode Island, are not railroaded. And now I'm worried because there was that big FBI sting where they caught all these child pornographers and they talked about how horrible it was and changing this stuff. And I thought, hey, that's good. That's good they caught these guys. That's a great thing. And now when I see a story like this, I start to worry. You should not be busting 16-year-old girls for taking pictures of each other. Never mind. Well, just a thought crossing my mind there. Bob Kornrevere, who was our favorite First Amendment attorney, just won a big case in Vermont, up near where I'm from. I'm from Greenfield, Massachusetts, and this was up in Brattleboro, which is just spitting distance. He was defending a nut, this whack job. Does it matter what the whack job's name is? Haminsky. Haminsky is the whack job's name. And Bob has been defending him. It's the longest case of Bob's career. He's been defending him for, like, I don't know, 9 years. I just said 9 years. I mean, that's what Margaret Donnie said, right?
Yeah.
She said 9 years.
So
every case is 9 years. He just won. The deputy sheriff, I guess it is. The Rutland County sheriff must pay $50,000 in damages.
Compensatory
damages, and $1 in punitive damages, which is great. I mean, they're saying it's not a big amount of harm. And what he had was this nut, and it really is clearly a nut that no one would agree with, this freak who lost a court case and parked his car out in front of the courthouse that said, the judge is a butcher of the Constitution. And they tried to get him to move his car and did all this stuff. And they finally threw him out. And Bob Kornrevere said he was very thrilled that he was able to convince a jury that the question was not, is Haminsky right? But does Haminsky have rights? If you're in a public official, if you're a judge and someone doesn't agree with you, they can paint their car all over that says you were wrong and drive around, and it's going to piss you off, but you can't throw them out. And I love this final paragraph in the story on this that says, Kornrevere said he hoped the former sheriff had learned something about the First Amendment. Hopefully this decision will help him get better training on compliance with the Constitution. I think he's gotten an advanced tutorial on this point. $50,000 tutorial from Bob Kornrevere. And I'm telling the people of Brattleboro, because it's right. I mean, you could spit to Brattleboro from where I'm from, Greenfield, Massachusetts, for all I care. Up in Brattleboro, I hope they know that a big fancy lawyer came in, and he's only
big
doing
city lawyer.
Big city lawyer. I think Bob Kornrevere is from a little town in Ohio, but now he's a big city lawyer. But that's always nice, after being appalled at people getting busted, 16-year-old girls being busted for child pornography. It's nice to see the good guys win now and again. And in Vermont, they did, and that nut can continue annoying people. And a lot of times in the First Amendment cases,
that's why you only get $1 for punitive damages.
Right, because he's a nut annoying people. There's no doubt about it. This is Penn Jillette. We're going to be back on Monday, just telling you that, say stupid stuff. Don't be afraid of being wrong. Be afraid of being quiet. Free FM, Penn Jillette. I kind of get a crush on